There's a way to go. There's a way to grow. Growing in his knowledge, growing in his service, growing in love, and many other things. As we continue our series on grow up, many times when people behave differently from the age that they are in, we tend to say that, hey, grow up. Speak as a grown-up person. Don't speak like a child. And things like that. That's where we tend to use the word grow up. We're going to continue our series through this, but may the Lord enable us to speak to us through his living word. Somehow I'm led to ask one of us to please pray for this sermon. Pray for me. Pray that God's word may come with liberty and authority that is given in his word. So one of us, if you can please pray for this message, and that this doesn't necessarily become a regular sermon to go, and then we'll go out of this place, take care of our own things, but that God would make a transformation in our lives. One of us, could you please pray?
To spend time, Lord, we pray and ask you that, Lord, you speak to us. Speak to each one of us, dear Lord, wherever we are, just like you met Saul on the road of Damascus. Lord, you meet us on the road that we are,
yes, Lord.
Lord, journeying on this earth, dear Lord. Lord, with all difficulties, all problems, emotional, financial, spiritual, Lord, you meet us, and you're the only one who can do that. Lord, we are feeble people. Lord, we cannot meet everyone's need, but you're the one who's always there, who can always meet our needs. Lord, we come and we look unto you. Thank you, Lord, for Benjamin, and also hide him behind the cross. Use him mightily for your glory. Lord, speak to him, speak through him. Lord, renew him afresh. Lord, speak to each one of us. Those of us who needs encouragement may be encouraged, corrected, may be corrected, convicted, may be convicted, comforted. Lord, may they be comforted, dear Lord. In everything, your name be glorified, dear Lord. Those who do not know you, Lord, may come to the saving knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ, dear Lord. Lord, those who may be in need restoration may be restored, renewed, may be renewed, dear Father. Committing each one of us into your loving hands. Giving you all the glory and honor with thanksgiving, binding all the powers of darkness. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. For today's portion, let us read the second half of verse 14 of chapter 2 from the first epistle of John. First epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 14, the second half. It's projected here. So please join with me as we read it, and then you can fill in the blank. All of us, together please. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Now we can note it down, that word. I have written to you, young men. Let's read this in other languages for the benefit of those of us who are know other languages. Let us read that. Telugulo chadukundamu. Modati Yohana rendu adhyayamu. 14th vachanamu. Second half. We will read the second half of it. All together, please. Yavanastulara, meeru balavantulu. Devuni vakyamu mee andu nilchuchunnadi. Meeru dushtini jayinchuchunnaru ganuka. Meeku vrayuchunnanu. This time I picked it up from a Hindi language, which probably most of us know. It's very close to an Urdu language. So let us read this in the Hindi language. Let's all read this together, please. Hey, jawano, main tumhe isliye likha hai ki tum balwant ho aur Parameshwar ka vachan tumme bana rehta hai aur tumne us dusht par jay paayi hai. I hope you could understand at least one of the languages or all the languages. May the Lord speak to us through his living word as we get into his word. There is something that I want to share with you about growing up. As parents, we know our children who are born and the way in which they are growing. Even if we are not parents yet, we have still seen children being born and growing up. I came up, I ran across this particular small list of things which I wanted to share with you. 7 rules for growth. If you ask me the source, I don't know what the source is, but it was interesting to note, so I thought I'll share with you the 7 rules for growth. A person who is born again starts a new life similar to that of a newborn infant. 7 rules that promote good health in babies can be adapted and applied to Christians' spiritual growth. Very important. When you think of a secular way or a generic way or physical way of seeing a child that is born to grow, same is the case with somebody who is born again or spiritually born. There are 7 things. As I read, notice this carefully. First, daily food. Taking the pure milk of the word through study and meditation. Fresh air. Pray often or you will faint. Prayer is the oxygen of the soul. Regular exercise. Put into practice what you learn in God's word. Adequate rest. Rely on God at all times in simple faith. Clean surroundings. Avoid evil company and whatever will weaken you spiritually. Avoid such things. Loving care. Be part of a church where you will benefit from a pastor's teaching and Christian fellowship. Periodic checkups. Regularly examine your spiritual health. Important things. Important things, as we see, when you talk about little children or children who are growing, we need these 7 things in order to be able to really see them have a proper growth. If you don't have your child grow properly enough, there is something wrong. You want to get them checked up. That's where the last one is. Periodic checkups, annual checkups, even, you know, to be able to get some shots to make sure that they are immune to things. You're so much concerned about children. How much more in terms of our spiritual growth? Just as a recap to what we have learned so far as part of the spiritual growth. There is no growth without birth. So it all starts with birth. Spiritually speaking, spiritual birth. That's the first step. And then, once a person is born again, a person knows who they are in terms of spiritually. That by birth, we are physical birth, we are sinners. There is no other way in which we can be saved other than Jesus Christ, who came down into this world to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Having repented of our sins, He is the one who gives birth to our spirit, spiritual birth. And the moment we experience that, the day we will never forget that we are born again, we go through the next step, spiritual babies. You just can't expect people who are matured enough to go walk around. No, it starts with step by step, spiritual babies. We have meditated upon it. Spiritual children. Remember last time we have gone through the book of 1 John, the first letter of John. Little children. And there are 9 different things that we have learned about what kind of a situation of these little children are. And then 2 major parts, position in Christ and practice as well. Today we are going to meditate on spiritual youth. God willing, we'll continue it because that's not the end of it. Spiritual youth. Today's youth is tomorrow's leaders, are tomorrow's leaders. You know, you must have heard such kind of statements. Some people in a group or congregation, if there are youth in that, they say, we have youth. We have youth in the team. What does it mean? Youth is there. It means that there is strength, that they can help in doing many things. Youth. There is strength and power of having youth. We can never neglect the youth. Growing up, I used to attend youth meetings. But most of the time I see there are old people attending. There are youth there. But even old people want to attend youth meeting. Why? Because it is not just physically young people, I mean old young people, but it is also those who are spiritually going through their youth stage and different situations that we go through. We see during the youth, you know, some people call youth as someone who is beyond 20 years or something like that. But here, as we typically look at it, young people, they are all adolescents. They are neither children nor adults. They are adolescents, youth. It's very important for us to focus our attention on youth because they don't claim themselves to be children. They want to be called adults, but they're not adults yet. That is where the struggle is. They struggle through the fact that they know something, they don't know something, they tend to hear something. So it's a challenging thing to be able to take care of youth. It's a wonderful thing also to be able to see our children grow up. My son Jason, if you have seen him late last year or early this year, and you have seen him now, he just grew up in his height. We ourselves are surprised, but those who have seen him in the past, they say, hey, what happened? He's totally changed. Youth stage is a stage when there is a sudden growth in a person. Adolescence, they are growing up. And he was so cautious in terms of his eating habits and exercise, etc., to get rid of all his baby fat everywhere. I was looking at some pictures in the past, even last year. And now, totally different. Children grow up, my dear. I'm just sharing out of my experience. You can share your own experiences or your children's experience as well. It's a wonderful thing to see our children grow up. Yesterday, during the Kids for Christ event, I was talking to one of our brothers and saying, children are just growing up. It's a joy to see our children grow up. How much greater joy does our Heavenly Father have when His children are growing up? And that is our prayer and desire, that we all grow up. When people say, Brother Jason has gone up, he's taller than you, I feel joyful to hear that more than anything else. Now, how can he become taller than me? No, I won't think that way. It's a joy to see our children grow up to the extent of growing up physically, that our desire is that they grow up spiritually as well. I loved being part of youth meetings. I learned so much. I have rededicated my life to the service of the Lord in one of the youth meetings in the year 1991. Having been born again, the Lord spoke to me. That speaker is going to come at the end of this month as well. The Lord has given me, He gave me that clear understanding of the fact that I need to serve Him, and I rededicated my life in that youth meeting. So it's very important for us to focus our attention on the stage of youth. Today, we are going to study and meditate on three things, primarily. This verse talks about three things. The Word of God is so wonderful for us to just look into His Word. If you look at this Word itself, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 to the second half of it. I have written to you, young men. And then he talks about, because you're strong, the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. To be able to remember this verse, I have tried to put it in the form of three sections. A, B, C. A, B, C is of spiritual youth. We'll start with the first one. Let's start with the first one. Please note it down. Abide. Abide. The word abide. We don't use this word very often. If you are a person who keeps reading King James Version, Old Testament has many places which talks about abide. I would like, he abode in his house, he abided there, he abiding in the dwelling place. Many, many things that talks about abide. But typically in our typical, colloquial English language, we don't use the word abide as much. This seems to be an old English word, abide. If you read the newer translations, it might not use that word as much. But this word, abide, or meno, it says in Greek language, it can be translated as, please note it down, dwell, or remain, or continue. The word abide, we are starting with that. Abide means to be able to dwell. dwell, abide, abode. It's a place of stay is called abode. Have you heard about it? Yes. Abode or abide. Abide means to dwell, to remain, or to continue. So if you have English languages different English translations, some of the easy translations for people to start off their spiritual life is sometimes they say, I want to read New Living Translation or New International Version. That is the beginners to keep reading it. You might see the word remain or continue, etc. Okay? So let's try to understand that in another language, in a Telugu language, they Niluchuchunnadi, that's what it says. In Telugu, it uses the word Niluchuchunnadi. That's what it says in Hindi. What is it that we are talking about in terms of abiding? Here in this verse, in the middle of this verse, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, it says, the word of God abides in you. The word of God abides in you. Very important that you and I need to recognize. As those who have gone through the spiritual birth experience, those who have gone through being spiritual babies, waiting for somebody to feed us, and spiritual children that we may not be tossed here and forth by the winds of doctrines that are spoiling us. As we keep growing up, we need to have the word of God abiding in us. So let's note it down. There are two things I want to share today. Not just the word of God, but also prayer. Abiding in the word of God and prayer. We'll look at that as to how we can be able to make sure that we focus our attention. If we are in that particular stage of spiritual youth, then we need to question ourselves if the word of God is abiding in us. And there is a direct impact of word of God abiding in us in our prayer life. That is why I try to combine both of them. Let us read the Gospel according to John chapter 5 and verse 38. Let's look at that. John chapter 5, verse 38. If you open it quickly, please read it. 37 and 38. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. There are do not, minus, minus, plus. So if you remove the do not, you have his word abiding in you, for you believe him whom he has sent. That's another way to understand. Certain times, the English language tries to explain to you from a negative perspective to bring out the positive. So here, what we can try to understand here when Jesus is speaking this word is, if you believe whom he has sent, if you believe Jesus Christ who came down into this world, you will have his word abiding in you. But if you do not have that belief in Lord Jesus Christ that he came down into this world, he gave his life for me, he died on the cross of Calvary for me, that word of God who became flesh, if you do not believe in him, then his word is not abiding in you, and you are not yet spiritually going through the youth stage yet. You need to question ourselves. In our spiritual growth, as I was sharing with you, this particular path of our growth chart, if I may, spiritual birth, spiritual babies, spiritual children, spiritual youth. By the time you reach being the spiritual youth, you need to be able to have the word of God abiding in you. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. Is the word of God abiding in you? Are you able to treasure God's word in you? Not head knowledge. Good to have head knowledge. To be able to have it in your heart. That's what it says in Psalm 119, verse 9. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Here people use the word memorization. But back from the countries where we have come from, they used to say by heart. Did you by heart? Why? Not in the brain, by heart. Because you need to not just know it by head, but you need to know it by heart. So it's so important for us, the more we hide the word of God in our hearts, the more word of God abides in me, he will help me not to sin, not to commit sin. He wants that abiding, John chapter 15, verse 5 onwards. I just want to read, this is a wonderful chapter. It's a study by itself, John chapter 15. It says, I'll read it. Listen to this carefully. John chapter 15, verse 5 onwards. Actually, 4 as well. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. It's a combination. The Bible says here, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. The word of God should abide in us so much so that he is the one who's driving us to do the things in accordance to his will. And then he goes on and on and on. And then he says in verse 11, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We need to be able to experience that, my dear. Verse 7, listen to this carefully. Somebody please read John chapter 15, verse 7.
If you abide in me,
and my words abide in you, word of God to abide in you,
you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you.
Ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. Please read in any other language. John chapter 15, verse... Oh, we take the second part of it and say, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. God, did you not say that? You said, whatever you wish you ask, I'll give it for you. When will that happen? It says in verse 7, if, there's a condition, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, the more you have the word of God in you, abide in the word of God, then your prayer life will be different. That is why I combined both word of God and prayer. The more you have word of God treasured in you, you will know what God likes you to have and what he doesn't like you to have. If you don't know him, you don't know what you're asking. You ask amiss, the book of James says. You don't know what you're asking. What's the point in asking that? But if you abide in him and his words abide in you, then it says in verse 7, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Very important to know God's will in our lives, God's word in our lives, in terms of being able to experience God in our lives. My dear, spiritually young people, those who are at that stage or who are still spiritually children, you need to grow up to become spiritually young people. And how will you become that? When you have the word of God abiding in you. The word of God, that's what he says, right? I have written to you, young men, because the word of God abides in you, my dear. How much time do you spend in reading God's word? Meditating God's word, treasuring God's word in our lives. I ask people sometimes, because I take it in my responsibility and ask them, how are you doing in your spiritual life? Oh, brother, I pray a lot. Brother, how about reading Bible? I just read it, but I pray. Good. When did you pray last? Oh, when I started driving, brother. Good. But is that the kind of prayer life that we are having? The more you know God, when the more you read God's word, you understand who he is, your prayer life will be very efficient. It will be the one which really is meaningful prayer life. I confess that there are times when I did not have my prayer life the way I should have. I haven't prayed the way I should have prayed. There were times I have prayed just in the air. I have prayed for the sake of others hearing it. I confess that. I'm no perfect person. I'm also part of growing up. But God has spoken to me. Recently, I've been studying about prayer. Prayer. And God has been transforming me. The importance of prayer. And he reminded me. Yes, I knew many things. But he reminded me how important it is to have my prayer life to be really aligned with Him. So now, whenever I'm praying or when I'm hearing somebody pray, it is not about these people, that people walking around here and there during prayer time. No. It is a moment where we are praying to the God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of this whole world. So I started imagining Him listening to me. My focus is upon Him. When I'm talking to Him, more than the problem. Yes, I've been sharing this, standing in this pulpit as well. But when it comes to reality, sometimes I focus on the things. And God reminded me. That's why I'm sharing with you, my dear brothers and sisters. Let not our prayer life be just a prayer life where others are listening to us. God is watching me. God is listening to me. The so-and-so brother, so-and-so sister is praying, but she's also praying to that God. Lord, my focus is upon you. Lord, we are praying this prayer. Even if it is such a small prayer, but it becomes a prayer that is a meaningful prayer. Oh, my dear brother and sister, let our prayer life reflect really what we are learning about Him. The more you have His words abiding in you, your prayer life becomes a meaningful prayer life. When I'm kneeling down in prayer, God has really made me realize so much so, because I've been, right from childhood, I've been praying. What's big deal? Somebody asked me to pray, I'll pray. But I'm watchful now as to how I should pray. Who am I praying to? Not forgetting that. Easy for us. For those of us who have grown up in such a kind of an environment, praying is, oh, you want me to pray? Okay, come on, let's pray. But yes, it's good that we are ready to pray, but we have to really mean it, my dear. Using a lot of words, good. But are we really meaning every word that we are speaking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Otherwise, it's a vain word prayer. Don't expect God to answer such kind of prayers. I'm learning it, I'm sharing with you. Word of God and prayer. The more you have His word, this verse, John chapter 15 and verse 7, reminded me of the importance of word of God and prayer, because that was the calling that He gave me to start to be involved in His ministry. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, we will continually be devoted to the ministry of word and prayer. That is what it says there. And through that verse, God spoke to me to be involved in His ministry. And through this verse again, God reminded me that without His word, how can I pray? I need to spend time in word of God so much so that I'll be able to spend time in prayer unto Him. Don't take prayer lightly. We are not praying just in the air. We are praying to someone who is on the other side listening to us. Can you speak like that on a phone with someone, not knowing whether the other person is there or not? You cannot. You want to make sure that you have a proper communication. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Please read. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. Not poorly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You are talking about riches? Do you have the word of God richly in you? It's a question to myself as well. The more you spend time in God's word, there are people of God, men of God, women of God, who spend 3 hours of their first part of the day in prayer and word of God. Why? Is it a waste of time? No, they are well prepared for the day. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Yes, brother.
In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
If you see verse 16, when you have the word of Christ richly dwelling in you, then in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, you will be able to have that clear understanding that I have a God who has given me His word. He has filled me with His word that I'm able to face the day ahead of me with his word, in every word or deed, any word that I speak. I know the word of God that is richly dwelling in me. I will not misuse my word. I will not be a loose tongue. I will not do things that are contrary to the word of God. How? Only when the word of Christ is richly dwelling in me. Even for that matter, when I'm teaching, when I'm admonishing, and also when I'm singing. Even singing requires the word of God richly dwelling in us. Don't just take lightly the singing part as well. Don't think that, oh, people are coming, till all of them come and sit, we will keep singing. No, singing has its value, my dear. Here he says, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, when your hearts are richly filled with word of God. Please read in any other language, verse 16, Colossians 3:16. Samruddhiga, richly. May the word of Christ richly dwell in you. The words richly made a difference in my life. How much am I really having word of God richly dwelling in me? In me, in my heart. A question to be answered. And one more thing that we can understand about the abiding is disciples. John chapter 8 and verse 31. John chapter 8. And verse 31.
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.
If you abide in my word, or my word abides in you, they go to hand in hand, okay? That is why in John chapter 15 also talks about you abide in me and my words abide in you. They go together. So here it says, Jesus was saying, to those who have believed him, to the Jews at that time, and to those of us who have believed him today, if you abide in my word, if you continue in my word, it says in some translations. Now you see, the word abide can be translated dwell, or remain, or continue. The same word that is used, original Greek word meno. Then you are truly disciples of mine. Don't claim yourselves to be a disciple of Jesus Christ if you do not have the word of God abiding in you. And only those disciples of Jesus Christ were first called Christians in the book of Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Disciples, if you are a disciple of Christ, others will call you as Christians, not yourself. Let us have the word of God abiding in us. Let that impact our prayer life. Our prayer life should be a really meaningful prayer life if we spend enough time abiding in the word of God, or the word of God abiding in us. Secondly, in the ABCs, let's note it down. Probably by now you might keep guessing it. Be strong. Be strong. Meeru balavantulu, it says in other languages. Balavantulu. Young people, that's what I was telling earlier, right? When a congregation has youth, they say, youth, and we have youth here. What does youth mean? Strong. They are entitled. Nowadays, you know, I thought I was young enough. Nowadays, I can't carry big stuff. I take my son's help. I say, now you are strong enough to carry certain things. Can you please carry? Yesterday, when we were coming from KFC, we had to carry the keyboard and the guitar. Guitar was heavier. Keyboard was heavier, and guitar was lighter. We had to bring both of them. I almost thought of picking up the keyboard, and I took the guitar and said, Jason, I think you better carry the keyboard. Why? Because I knew that he is stronger than me now. Already I can sense that. Why? Because youth, what do? They know. They say, oh, you are young, why don't you eat more? Young people, eat more. How about spiritually young people? Eat more. Word of God. Oh, young people, I want to have this kind of meat, that meat, a lot of food, they say. Some people say, oh, young people, no, that's why they're eating a lot of food. Good, good. I'm glad you're doing it. Spiritually, young people, do you Make sure that you are having word of God dwelling in you. Are you eating God's word? Right now we can see physically people who are young people, who are old people. We have people of different ages in our congregation. Wonderful. We praise God for that. Physically. If God reverses spiritual life and physical life, and he hides the physical growth and exposes spiritual growth, I don't know what will happen. We might need to step down and wonder, how it ends up becoming. Some may be spiritually dead also. Some may be babies. Some may be children. Some may be youth. We need to question ourselves where we are in our spiritual growth. Be strong. The word that is used for strong also means to grow firm or secure. And it was interesting to note the word grow. Grow firm, not just becoming firm, to grow firm. It requires growth in order to become strong, to become firm, and to become secure. We need to be strong, my dear. For us to be strong, as I was telling you, the word of God, we should know God's word. We should hide God's word in our hearts. And then, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 8. I'm sharing with you these references. Please note it down. That's why we have an open area on the bottom of the sheet as well as the back of the sheet. You can note down as much as you want to. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 8. You shall keep every commandment that I shall teach you today.
That you may be strong.
Yes. Yes. This is what the word of God is talking about. The results or rewards of obedience. So let's note it down. For us to be strong, we need to go through obedience in our lives. Obedience to God's word. Abiding in God's word. Abidance, obedience. I don't know if there's an English word called abidance, but I just try to coin that. Abidance, obedience. Abiding in God's word. The more you have God's word to be filled in you so much so, that your way of talking, way of acting, your doing also becomes strong. That is why the word of God here says, ye shall therefore keep every commandment which I am commanding you today. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is your commandment today in my life? What do you want to teach me? Every day you're teaching me, I want to keep on obeying. Yesterday's commandments, today's commandments, tomorrow's. How is God speaking to me? At that time, he gave all these commandments. And he said, ye shall keep every commandment. Not most of the commandments. Or 10% of the commandments. 99% of the commandments. Every commandment. It's not easy. Only he can guide us. He can help us. And that is where we need to depend on the strength from the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Strengthens me. He's the one who strengthens me. He's the one who will help me. That is where my prayer should be. Lord, I want to abide in your word. Ask whatever you wish. What is that? Give me strength to keep your commandments. Do we say that? No. I want this. I want that. Can you give me that? Can you give me this? The things of this world? Yes. But how about asking that one prayer? I want to abide in your word. Help me to keep your commandments daily. And that is where he says, if you keep his commandments that he commanded you today, so that you may be strong and go in. Be strong and then possess. And if you read the book of Joshua, it talks so many times in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9. Everywhere it says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You know that. You know well enough. I think we have been going through so much in this particular one that I want to read Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. 6, 7, 9 talks about to be strong. Young men, Joshua, at that time, probably at that age it was like young people, I don't know. But here he says here in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you today. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. God's word and strength go hand in hand. That's what you and I need to be able to recognize here, that we need to be strong and courageous. It's very hard for us through weak times. We sang the song, "You are my strength when I am weak." But the word of God says, strong. How can I be strong? Only through the word that is in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We read that in last time also when we were meditating on children. And you know that? That particular greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world is also mentioned in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 verse 7. When the Assyrians were attacking, Hezekiah was there. And let us see verse 7. Be strong and courageous.
Do not be afraid nor dismayed.
Do not be afraid nor be dismayed.
Before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him.
For the one with us is greater than one with him, it says in my translation. For the one with us is greater than the one with him. Why? The God who is with us, and that is clearly explained in 1 John as well. The God who is with us, he is the one who is helping us in verse 8. With him is only an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. We may be going through many battles in our lives. We may be going through many temptations in our lives. We may be going through many trials in our lives. Be strong and courageous, my dear. For the God who is there to help us in verse 8, he will fight our battles. You don't take it into your hands. Instead, you have the word of God in you so much so that you become strong and let God do his work of fighting our battles. That is very important, my dear, that you and I should understand. One more thing that we can learn about being strong is, I need to be strong in four aspects. There could be many things. If you want to make more study, you can do that. But in my study, I came across these four and I wanted to share with you that we need to be strong in spirit. We need to be strong in wisdom. We need to be strong in faith and grace. I'll give you one verse for each. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. 8-0. Which talks about John the Baptist. After he grew up, after he was born, he was growing. Okay, in verse 80. What does it say?
So the child grew and became strong in spirit.
Child grew. You see that? Growing up will enable you to become strong. And the child grew and became strong in spirit. And he lived in deserts until the day of the public appearance to Israel. Even if we had been living in desert or wilderness or places where there may not be the things that you want to expect it, you need to be strong in spirit, my dear. You need to be strong in spirit. When you are strong in spirit, you will be able to face the deserts or the troubles or trials or wildernesses in our lives to the extent of being able to appear at a later point of time as John the Baptist appeared. We'll go to the next chapter, Luke chapter 2. Talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 40, please read.
And the child grew.
Again, you see the growth? Yes.
And became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
He was strong and he was increasing in wisdom. Being strong in wisdom, not knowledge alone. Knowledge is good. Knowledge is good. But you need wisdom. We need to be strong in wisdom to know how to use the knowledge in the times, in the situations that we are coming across. Very important. We need to be strong in that. Jesus Christ has been a great example for that. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. It says,
watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong.
Okay. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Act like men, be strong. Yesterday, we had a small trivia on our Sons of Zion group. Be strong and show yourself a man. Bible or not? Be strong, show yourself a man. Bible or not? Bible, which is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2. David told to his son Solomon, be strong, show yourself a man. Prove yourself a man. Here also, in my translation, it says in verse 13, act like men. Young men, grow up. Act like men. Or in terms of be strong, show yourself. And here, in the context of it, he says, stand firm in the faith. Grow firm in the faith. We need to be able to be strong in faith. In the faith in God who came down into this world to die for us on the cross of Calvary. The faith in him should be growing stronger and stronger and stronger to be able to face the trials in our lives. Not to just talk about the faith, to be strong in the faith. And then we'll see in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not knowing about grace. Yes, we are saved by grace. Good. But are you strong in grace? Or are you still talking about being born again? You need to be saved by faith. You need to be saved by faith. Grow up. Grow up. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Understand what is this grace that he has shown towards us. And live accordingly. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he gives so many things after that. How to be able to be strong. To suffer hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he talks about. And there are many things that we can study. This is a study by itself again, 2 Timothy chapter 2. But he starts off saying, you be strong in the grace. You're talking about grace. Good. But are you strong in the grace in such a manner that you can be able to face the situations that are coming across in your life? And he was talking to Timothy, his son. Spiritual son. Then, let's go to the third and the final one, which is conquer. Conquer. You might see in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, you have overcome the evil one, or conquer. Both mean very similar, overcoming or conquering. And it is very important for us to note the meaning of that as well. Overcome or being victorious. As young people in the Lord, young in Christ, be strong, abide in the word of God, be strong and conquer the evil one. As you abide in God's word or God's word abides in you, you become strong to attack, to be able to face the evil one and to be victorious over the evil one. Very important. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We will study this as part of our Bible study as well. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Be strong in the Lord. And then in that particular verse, in that particular chapter, it talks about spiritual warfare. But before he talks about the spiritual warfare, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, be strong. And in the strength of his might, then you take up the armor of God and face the situations that are coming in your life. Be a conqueror. Be victorious, my dear. And that is what he's saying. Spiritual warfare. We are all under attack in one way or the other. That spiritual attacks are enabling us to experience in our earthly life, in our personal life, in our family life, in our church life, in our academic or career life. We may be seeing attacks being seen in our lives, so much so that we go through weakness and we cannot be strong. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, may this be an encouragement as well as an exhortation for each one of us to ensure that the word of God abides in us, to be strong and then be able to face the enemy. Remember, it is the enemy that is causing these attacks. If you try to fight against each other, then the enemy will be the happiest person. Try to note, as children of God, we are on the same side. If we keep fighting against each other, then enemy will be the happiest person. Yes, this is what I wanted. But if we come together and face the evil one, that is where we can see the victory. You know the story, we have meditated upon it as well in the past. Talking about the valleys, various valleys. And there was a time, Eshkol, Valley of Eshkol, where the people went and brought forth grapes from the promised land. And that one person from each tribe was sent. 10 of the people said, oh, that's a terrible land. Giants are there, Rephaim and Rephidim and all are there. We cannot go there. And there were two people. Out of the two people, there was one person who is not so familiar, whose name is Caleb. And then Joshua got strength when Caleb said that. Joshua was the one whose name is mentioned later on. But out of the two, Caleb was the one who spoke out. And we'll pick up the story from Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Verse 27 onwards, the 10 people, the way they told was, we went into the land where you sent us. It certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. If they had stopped it, that would have been good. That means you forgot everything that was told earlier. The people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anakims. Amalek is living there, and many, many things. Verse 30, notice this very carefully. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means, at once it says in some translations, by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. That is being strong in the faith. The enemies are there. We need to possess the land. 10 of you are telling, it's not the majority, my dear, that counts here. It is being strong in faith that counts here. Are you strong in faith to be able to say the way in which Caleb was able to say? He had to quiet the people. Stop it. Stop it. Enough of what you're talking. You're looking with your physical eyes. We walk by faith, not by sight. And then, in a sense, he says that. And then he says, we should by all means go up. And then he talks. They may be too strong for us, but God is there with us to be able to deliver us. And then he says, for we will surely overcome it. The confidence that he was able to have. Something we should learn, my dear brothers and sisters. It's not about singing, we shall overcome someday. Today also you can do that. Hum honge kamyab, hum honge kamyab. Yes, we can overcome today. With the troubles that we are going through today, God can help us if we abide in God's word so much so and be strong in the faith, strong in the spirit, strong in the wisdom, strong in grace, that we should be able to overcome the evil one. Conquer by faith with good. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4 and 5.
For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
This is the victory that has overcome the world, which is at our faith. The more we are strong in the faith that God is the one who will fight our battles, No matter how much troubles we are going through in our lives, no matter what kind of giants are there who seem to be much stronger than us, we have a God in whom I have faith that He is in control of the situations in my life, and I will be able to experience that overcoming or winning over the trials and temptations in my life, our faith in Him. The faith that He has put as a seed in me, I need to be able to let that faith grow in me so much so that I can be the overcomer. And then who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is God who came down into this world, who is entitled Son of God? Maybe you need to get straight in terms of knowing where you are. Don't jump into spiritual youth. First, you should be born again. You need to grow up to the extent of being a spiritually young person in the Lord. Romans 12:21. You can note down quickly enough. Romans 12:21. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's very difficult. Oh, you do like that with me? I'm also going to do the same way. That is not biblical. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God saved us. He made us His children unto good works. Be very watchful. The way in which you are going to overcome the evil one is with good. The goodness of God that has caused us to be able to experience Him in so much so that we need to overcome evil with good. That is another study by itself. But I'm sharing with you so that you can go back home and meditate on these things as well. Overcome evil with good. Seven churches, Revelation chapter 2 onwards, it talks about 2 and 3, talks about the seven churches, letters to the seven churches. All the seven churches, go back to your home and read it. All the portions, the letters end with, he who has an ear, let him hear. And he who overcomes will get this. He who overcomes will get this. Seven times to the seven churches. Go read it. I'm not going to read it for you right now. But I want to share with you one last verse and we'll close. That is taken from Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Note down this point, by the blood of Jesus and testimony. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Shall we all read this together, please? Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. This is talking about the fact that, you know, if you read the previous verses, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God has come, authority has come, and the way in which they are able to overcome the accuser, the dragon, it says in verse 9, the Satan or the evil one, the devil, here it says, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of Jesus Christ not only cleanses us from all unrighteousness, but also helps us to overcome the evil one. In the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, we have the victory songs. There are many songs. In the blood and the name of Jesus Christ. Yesu raktame jayamo, people say, what does it mean? Gives us victory, Jesus Christ, because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. He has given us the power of resurrection. The victory that He has come across when He died for us on the cross and rose again from the dead. Now, they overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb. Not only the experience of the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from our sins, but also the word of their testimony. Even our testimony. When we stand and share our testimony, what do we share? What do we share? Our word of testimony also makes the devil be overcome. The word of the testimony, to the extent of giving our life. It says here in verse 11, they did not love their life even when faced with death. Even when they were faced with death. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. He gave his life for us. My dear brother and sister, do you have Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? If not, the time has come for you. If the Spirit of the Lord is convicting you, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, let us ponder over what we have learned today, that there is no growth without birth. You need to be born again. Born again means spiritually to be able to be enlightened by the Word of God. Come to Christ because He's calling you. He's drawing nearer. He's saying, I draw people towards me. And if you are convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, do not be disobedient to His voice and come to Him, my dear. Jesus Christ has come into this world to give His life for you. And for those of us who claim to be born again, where are we? Are we still babies? Still relying on the milk only? Or are we growing up to becoming children and to the youth? Young people, my dear, you need to be fed with God's word. Youth are required to be strong and to be able to overcome the evil one. Because greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. We can overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because of the victory that Jesus had over Satan. We are going to take part in the Lord's table. We are going to remember His body that was bruised for our sake and His blood that was shed for us. Do you want to know this? Do you accept this truth? If the Spirit of the Lord is convicting you right now, do not be disobedient. You can just say, "Brother, I want to respond to His calling. I want to have Jesus in my heart. By faith, through the grace that He has showered upon me, I want to be able to be a changed person." If that is your prayer, just raise your hand once, my dear. Don't worry about others, what others may be thinking. How much long you want to just ponder over this? Take this opportunity to just say, "I want to receive Jesus in my heart, because He is the one who is talking to me right now. He is the one who is convicting me right now through the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be a child of God. I want to be spiritually born." Is that your prayer? Just raise your hand once and say, "Brother, I want to." Praise the Lord, brother. Anyone else? Anyone else? You can lower your hand. For those of us who are born again, where are we right now? Are we like babies? Are we like children? If so, let us ask the Lord to help us to grow up to becoming youth. I want to be youth, brother. I want to be youth, young in Christ. If that is your prayer, you can just raise your hand and say, "Brother, I want to be a young person in Christ." Please raise your hand. All this while, praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, brother, sister. We praise God with you. We praise God with you, because we need to be able to have Word of God abiding in us, to be strong and to then be able to face the evil one against us. Let us be the Calebs. Let us be the Calebs who can be able to surely say, "We shall overcome." You can lower your hand now as we remember Christ and His sacrifice. Let's thank the Lord. Gracious Father, loving God, we thank you. Enable us, Father, to take part in this table that is set before us, reminding us of the body of Jesus Christ that was given for us and the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. As we take part in it, help us to take part in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, let us take part in this table that is set before us. Yes.